Well, hello, I'm Matt Williamson. This is the Locked On NFL Podcast. We are going to do power ranks today fast. Because there's a lot to talk about. It's noon here on Tuesday. Some big trades have happened. Trade deadline is in 4 hours. So if there's more that happened coming up, you know, it's Halloween, by the way. Happy Halloween. Then I will cover those tomorrow with Mike. But for now, we got some big ones to talk about. And we're just going to talk. I'm going to do it in a power rank fashion. I'm just going to count down 32 to 1 quickly. I'm not going to explain it. And to be very honest, there wasn't a lot of movement in the power ranks. So it's a good week for this to happen. And when I get to a team like the Niners or the Dolphins or whomever, I'm going to talk about what does this trade mean for them. So, without any further ado, we got the Browns at 32. They were at 32 last week. We got the 49ers at 31. They were 31 last week. I love this trade for the 49ers. They give up, if you haven't heard, they give up their second-round pick in next year's draft, which is sure to be a very high pick. And that's a valuable pick. And Belichick has shown through history that's an area of the draft he covets because while you can't use the fifth-year option on a second-rounder, you pay him a lot less, and you basically get the same type of talent that you do late in the first. So it's a very, very valuable pick. It's a very enviable spot to be in. But you're the Niners. You know, your first-round pick is going to be a very early pick, and you're not going to be in the quarterback market. So you either take Saquon Barkley or a stud defensive player, or you ransom it off for quarterback needy teams, even if it's a move like they did, you know, last year for Trubisky, pick up a couple extra thirds and still get your guy, or, you know, those type of moves. So that's great that they will be out of the quarterback market for their draft. It's also great that they get Jimmy now. You know, there's a lot of talk of, well, they were to get Kirk Cousins. Kirk Cousins is going to be crazy expensive. There's not a guarantee you're going to get him. And you get him, you know, months after the regular season, as opposed to get him in your building now. Shanahan's scheme is not easy to learn. We saw that from Matt Ryan. And Jimmy gets to know Kittle and Garcon and his linemen and his teammates and all those things while he learns. Doesn't sound like he's going to get thrust into the starting lineup, nor should he be. It's a valuable asset. You want him to know where he's going to be. It may not be at Hill after their bye. Great. But get him in the building. Get him learning. Get him taking first-team reps, even if he's not going to start that week. So that's a great asset. And he's super cheap for the rest of the year. And you can lock him up to a long-term deal, or you can franchise him. And I think that's like $18 or $19 million if you're not 100% sure. You know, if worst-case scenario is you pay him like $500,000 for the rest of the year and $18 million for the franchise tag, and he doesn't work out, and he moves on after next year, you would still get a comp pick for him, and it only costs you a second. But if it does work out, you lock him up, and he's still surely going to be cheaper than Cousins, and you get him now. I also think he fits the system well. He's a very quick processor of information. Good anticipatory thrower, very quick release. I see a lot of Tony Romo in him. I mean, he's a good athlete, not a great athlete. He can improve with his pocket presence a little bit, but I think that'll come. Obviously, he doesn't have a lot of reps. I'm a Garoppolo believer, so needless to say, you know, I mean, I think that this is an exceptional deal for the Niners. It really positions them well. And oh, by the way, they've got tons of cap space for now and the future. So they can afford to franchise them, even if they're not sure after this year or whatever, which is fine. The Colts stay at 30 as well. As of noon here on Tuesday, they have not made a move. There's been a lot of speculation that basically anyone could be had. T.Y. Hilton is the big name. I don't know about that, though. I mean, if I'm Andrew Luck and you're trading T.Y. Hilton, am I thrilled about that? I mean, Moncrief makes a lot more sense. He's a free agent after the year. He's been up and down. Maybe a team like Dallas or the Bears or somebody like that would give you something substantial for Moncrief. Maybe Davis, the corner, could go. I have a feeling we might be talking about the Colts more tomorrow. Dolphins are miserable. I had them 18 last week. They're all the way down to 29. They trade Jay Ajayi to the Eagles for a mid-round pick. I guess they don't see him in the long-term plans. My radar goes off a little too, and I wonder, did their team doctor have some concerns about his knee? Are they just trying to get as many picks as they possibly can? That's probably the case. There always has been, not friction, but there's always been a weird relationship between Ajayi and Gase. And even when, you know, before he went nuts last year, he got benched for the first two games. So a little early, I guess, to give up on Ajayi, in my opinion, but he's a real good player. I'm going to say good things whenever Philadelphia comes up here in the power ranks, which isn't for a while. All right, now we have a little stretch here in the power ranks where there isn't big news, and there's not a lot of movement. So I'm going to buzz through these quick, although there could be news. I mean, whenever we reconvene tomorrow. I got the Jets going from 26 to 28, which is probably a little harsh for them. They've been impressive. There's just a handful of these teams here, these next five or six, that I think are all basically equal. That's Baltimore going from 29 to 27. The Bears going from 24 to 25. The Giants from 28 to 24. Arizona from 27 to 23. You know, those guys didn't do anything to really improve their stock, but they did anyway. Green Bay goes from 22 to 22. So who's the best team of that group? I mean, Green Bay, Arizona, Giants, Tampa, Chicago, Baltimore, and the Jets. They're all kind of equal to me. I mean, the gap between Green Bay at 22 and the Jets at 28 isn't all that massive. And obviously it's strange to say that about Green Bay, but I'm having a hard time believing that they're close to the team that they were with Aaron Rodgers. So I got Denver going from 21 to 21. They played Monday Night Football last night. Kept it close. I mean, it looked like blowout city to begin that game. I thought they were in huge trouble. But kept it close. Simeon again proves that he's a big problem. And the offense in general needs more, a lot more. But he had two bad picks. I mean, that one across his body, bad. But the defense kept it close. And eventually they couldn't prevail. They were the inferior team, and that's the way it went. Kind of think their season's over. And I know Lynch isn't 100% healthy, and I know we're not getting any good reports on him, but I wonder if you got to get him in there soon, and if you can get six starting games or something out of him to finish the season, to see where he's at. I can't condone saying, well, I'll put Brock Osweiler in there. I mean, I don't think he's going to make any difference. I think Simeon's probably better than Brock anyway. But Lynch, I guess, still has a glimmer of hope. But Denver's going to have they got a big project on their hands in the offseason. Oakland goes from 13 to 20. Got kind of embarrassed on the road against Buffalo. I wonder how mentally tough these guys are. Lions go from 16 to 19. Cincinnati goes from 19 to 18, and they're still in the thick of things. Titans go from 23 to 17, even though they didn't do anything. And maybe I was a little low on them at 23 anyway. Washington goes from 10 to 16, and I'm starting to worry about these guys. You know, I think that they probably were at their best a couple weeks ago. They need more from Pryor. They need more from Doxson. At least Crowder stepped up. Thompson is very much a foundation player of their offense, which is good and bad. It would be nice to have a 230-pound running back that they could lean on. A lot of injuries on both sides of the ball right now. I kind of think Washington's kind of doomed for that 7-9 territory. Atlanta might be too. I mean, they go from 20 to 15, but really aren't super impressive, or don't, you know, be misconstrued that, boy, I'm on board with the Falcons. They're going to be great. I don't believe that. Dallas goes from 11 to 14, even though they're playing well, and the reason is news comes out that Zeke is getting six games. You know, so I had them, before the news was up there, I think I had them at 8 or 9, and I've been saying a lot of good things about Dallas lately, even though I didn't to begin the year. I thought that they were in for a step backwards this year. But I'm putting them in the power ranks here as if they don't have Elliott for six games, and I think that's basically a deal breaker for their season. As great as Dak is playing, very impressed with him. Dez is looking a lot better. Defense is getting some pass rush and showing some promise. But without Elliott, I think that's a game changer. And for six games, that's substantial. Maybe we get different news. Who's to say? But I don't like the sounds of that at all for where the Cowboys are going forward in 2017. All right, the Chargers. Punt returner loses like 12 yards and ends up taking a safety on a punt return that he fielded at like the 12. It's just a very Chargers and Patriots way to not lose the game, but greatly affect the game. So they're 14 last week. They're 13 this week. I still think they're good. I'm still not embarrassed that I picked them to win the West, but they don't know how to win. And, I don't know what to think about them anymore at that point. Buffalo goes from 17 to 12. Certainly by far the most respect I've given this team. They lead the league in turnover margin by a wide margin. I don't think that's going to keep up. I mean, that's been the absolute most critical factor to what the Bills have done. But they beat up on the Raiders. They're hard to play against. They're well coached. I mentioned that they traded Darius. So they're still dumping guys. Could they dump somebody else before 4 o'clock today? Maybe. I mean, could it be Tyrod Taylor? Could it be McCoy? I mean, that seems extreme for what looks like a potential playoff team, but I still think that their goal is the same, is we know we're not good enough to be a contender right now. I mean, if you gave those guys truth serum, they know. Houston goes from 15 to 11, and yes, I'm warming up to Mr. Watson. He does have some magic. He has a lot going for him, there's no doubt. The big news with them, though, is they traded Dwayne Brown to Seattle. Their line was bad to begin with, and then Brown came back, and he looks pretty good. They did get decent picks in return, and that's big because they don't have their first two picks with the Watson deal and some moves that they've made. So Houston does need to revitalize picks. And I get that Watson will buy time on his own, and it almost feels like he's the new Russell Wilson in terms of offensive line. Like, we'll just ignore the offensive line. You run around and... And meanwhile, Brown goes to help Wilson. But I think this has a negative effect on the Texans for the rest of the year. I mean, I don't know how it wouldn't. Jacksonville goes from 12 to 10, even though they didn't do anything. They should be getting guys like Fournette back. They add Darius, which only cost them a sixth-round pick. It was a total contract dump for the Bills. Jags are spenders. They're adding to a really good defense. He has more name value than he does true value, and he's also overpaid, which is why Buffalo wanted him to show him the door. That's why they were happy to make this deal. The six-round pick really means nothing. They just want him off the cap. But the Jags, as good as their D is, they don't have a difference-maker 310, 320-pound inside guy. Darius could be that, especially if you limit his snaps and move him around a little bit. I mean, get him out of Buffalo. This may pay off for Jacksonville. Rams go from 9-9, nothing to really talk about there. Saints go from 7-8, nothing to really talk about there. Probably wasn't their fault. But I did want to put Carolina slightly above New Orleans. That's why they went from 8-7. So there's a little mover, a little switcheroo there from those two. Who's better, the Panthers or the Saints? Panthers' D's really good. I mean, I know that the Saints' D is now not terrible, but the Panthers' D's really good. You know, they're blitzing more. Saints are obviously better on offense. Minnesota, good year, man. I mean, they go from 6-5. They're doing good things. Some of these other teams have some things to talk about at the top here. We got Seattle going from 5-6. They pick up Dwayne Brown. Love it. I mean, they're in win now mode. Wilson can't continue to take this beating. They have to get something going on the ground. Brown is still a quality player. He wanted out, fills a need, gives him a little more flexibility on the offensive line. It's great just to have a left tackle that you know is a dude. You know, like, this guy is not going to kill us. I would think he'll be plug and play from immediate. And Seattle, you know, they've been known to deal early draft picks. And for the most part, it's kind of worked. I mean, not that every one of those deals has paid off, Percy Harvin and guys like that, but They keep winning despite trading early picks. Kansas City, 4-4. Nice win last night. Again, it looked like a blowout. Kelsey, I thought, really stood out. Justin Houston really stood out as dominant players. And I tend to think that this is sort of a matchup team that, depending who they get, they match up really well. A team like Denver plays a lot of man, and they don't have a man coverage guy to deal with Kelsey, so Kelsey always eats them up. We'll see who Kansas City gets in the playoffs, but some teams are bad matchups for them, some teams are good matchups for them, more so than most top five type of teams. Nice win, though, and there was a point there where it was time to worry a little bit. Oh, by the way, Butker. I mean, what a nice pickup that was. You know, the Carolina had Gano and Butker, two good kickers, kept one around, and Casey gets a quality kicker on the cheap. Philly goes from 3-3, and they pick up Ajayi, which I love. I think he fits them exactly. There's going to be poor weather games in the future. We saw it this past week. He's going to take pressure off Wentz. He's a better player than Blunt. I think he's their feature guy from the get-go. Didn't invest a whole lot in him. Will he be a long-term answer or a bit of a rental? I don't know. But he makes the Eagles a better team without question. New England goes from 2-2. They traded Jimmy G for a nice pick. That doesn't hopefully help or hurt them this year, but what if Brady goes down? The other part of this equation, which hasn't dropped yet, but almost seems like a certainty, and according to a couple of the big-time reporters, that they were going to include Hoyer in the deal, but if you do it that way, it affects the comp picks a little bit. So Hoyer has been released, and as of 12:34 Eastern, he's not yet a Patriot, but it sounds as though he's going to be a Patriot. All this being said, and I know this is a little bit of hindsight, wouldn't it be nice to have Jacoby Brissett on the team instead of Philip Dorsett? I'm just saying. I mean, for at least you'd have a young guy with some ability that could be a Brady, you know, replacement possibly down the line, an upside guy. I know they only like to keep two, and they were gonna cut Brissett anyways. Why would you cut Brissett? I mean, he's good. That doesn't make it okay. So I don't know. I'm still critical of that deal with the Patriots, but I thought they would get more for Jimmy. There is some reports that the offers on the table during the draft weren't as big as many of us expected. Still, this is a nice premium pick. Fits the Patriots' MO in a big way. Steelers go from 1-1. Nice win. Bye. Healthy. In a good position. Could Martavis be on the move? My birdies telling me that probably won't happen. But if it does, we will discuss it tomorrow with Mike Renner. So lots happening in the NFL. I bet there's another move or two from the time I hang up here until 4 o'clock. Hopefully, because they've been a lot of fun. All right, over and out. Take care.